NDR Info. Nachtclub.
So, bei mir ins Studio in der zweiten Stunde ist, wie gesagt, die Band Eagles aus Leeds in Yorkshire in England. Und sie kommen gleich zu Wort. George und Henry sind bei mir. Und sie sprechen nachher gleich. Aber erstmal Musik von ihrem neuen Album Eulogies. Hier ist Eagles mit Heads or Tails. Und das war Heads or Tails von der Band Eagles. Bei mir ins Studio ist, wie gesagt, George und auch Henry von der Band. Hi, how are you doing?
Hello.
Glad you can make it. And but you're none the worse for wear and tear. You've only just come from Berlin, so that was just like just
nice and easy.
Yeah, nice and easy. Yeah, so fresh as a daisy.
I don't know about that, but
yeah,
okay.
Not too bad.
And you were saying on the way here that you've actually been done through the whole rigmarole of America, so that's toughened you up, probably, no doubt. Do you actually feel robuster as a band now than you used to?
Yeah, it makes you feel slightly veteraned, I think, doing gigs like that, or doing tours like that. Yeah, definitely so.
It can show the weaknesses in the band, I suppose.
Hmm.
So what are the weaknesses?
Long drives.
Ja, sie haben eine lange Tour in Amerika hinter sich und deshalb sind sie ein bisschen abgehärtet. Und er meinte, es ist natürlich ein Reifungsprozess, wenn man sowas macht. Aber Henry meinte auch, dass es auch die Schwächen der Band zeigt. Und lange Fahrten ist tatsächlich so eine anstrengende Geschichte für sie. Und deshalb, gerade aus Berlin zu kommen, ist vergleichsweise ein Katzensprung. And of course, you've been around for quite a long time, 2010. So you probably feel like you found your feet now, more or less. And that first flush of youth, does that seem like ages ago to you now, looking back, or does it just seem like yesterday?
It does feel like quite a while ago. I don't think anything's changed amongst us too much. We just still enjoy just doing it and just being a band together and being together and making music together and going on tour. But we think about everything a bit more nowadays than we used to. I mean, back then you just sort of turn up, plug in and fresh it out.
But now we sort of analyse situations a lot more. Because we don't want to mess up in some cases where we feel like we had before. So, yeah, the future's more planned out, in a sense.
So you think that too much spontaneity can actually spoil the quality? Or do you think it has done, maybe, in the initial period?
I mean, not in an outsider's perspective. I don't think it would have affected, like, other people's views, but, like, the things that we're comfortable with doing, like, we now know what we like and what we don't like, whereas before we was just testing the waters with everything that we did.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ja, es ist natürlich ein Unterschied jetzt, dass die Band seit 6 Jahren dabei sind. Sie haben schon das Gefühl, dass es ziemlich lange her ist jetzt. Und der Unterschied zwischen jetzt und damals ist, dass damals ist alles so ziemlich spontan und instinktiv entstanden. Und mittlerweile denken sie einfach mehr über alles nach. Und es ist alles ein bisschen besser geplant und ein bisschen durchdacht. Und Henry meinte, dass Außenseiter würden vielleicht den Unterschied gar nicht merken, aber die merken es für sich, dass sie einfach so gewissenhaft sind und gründlicher in ihrer Denkweise, wenn sie überhaupt irgendwas musikalisch und künstlerisch planen. I mean, the obvious difference between the first and the second album is that it seems a bit more gentle, a bit more reflective, not quite as openly aggressive. I mean, it's still aggressive in comparison to a lot of other pop music, but it's still, by your standards, it seems to be sound a bit more mature, a bit more reflective. Maybe that also reflects what you've just been saying, that things are a bit more planned these days. You're a bit more, you don't rush things too much.
Yeah. When we was writing this album, we knew what we was doing, but we didn't really. It was like a subconscious effort to sort of to do something. Not, I mean, the word mature is like, it is a good word to describe it, but it's just so overused, isn't it? But it's the best word to use, I think, because, I mean, we grew as musicians and we really, like, pushed ourselves out of our comfort zones to try things, to better our music. I mean, slowing down, for one, was a really strange thing to us, because before we was just like a powerhouse that we just used to blast and just go super fast, but it seemed that slowing down would open up our music a lot more, and then you can sort of analyze everything a lot better and create a lot more beautiful music by slowing down.
Okay. Ja, also Henry meinte, dass es ihnen wichtig war, dass sie einen reiferen Eindruck jetzt machen. Er meinte, einerseits wird dieser Begriff zu oft verwendet, aber er meinte, es trifft schon zu, dass es um Reife geht, dass sie ein bisschen erwachsener jetzt sind und dass sie letztendlich nicht mehr so bequem und konservativ sind in ihrem Denken, dass sie tatsächlich sich was getraut haben, dass es ein bisschen gewagter ist, was sie künstlerisch jetzt machen. Und dazu gehörte vor allem, alles etwas zu verlangsamen, weil das erste Album einfach so rigoros und so schnell war. Und das wollten sie nicht auf Dauer so machen. Und jetzt ist es langsame, nachdenkliche, analytische eigentlich, was sie machen. Und sie denken, dass es ist letztendlich auch gelungen ist, also im Prinzip einen effektiven, also zweiten Schritt zu machen. Und do you actually, as soon as an album has been finished, do you have this kind of rush of euphoria, thinking, well, this is the most perfect thing ever? Or do you actually stay quite self-critical about it?
We're a very like self-critical band. When we write, we nitpick a lot, and so even into when we finished the songs, we were still. I mean, then you head into like the realms of mixing and whatnot, and in a sense, there was a part of us where we thought like, oh, we've messed up here, like when we'd finished the album, but really it was just a mixing issue, and then as soon as we started getting the final mixes in, we started to become a lot happier about what we'd done, and but still I could sit for hours and be like, I wish I'd done this, or I wish I'd done that. It's like painting. It's like you don't know when the painting's finished. You just like have that sense that it's done, and then you have to just put it to rest, yeah, and shove it in the gallery or whatever you're going to do with it.
Also Henry meint, dass eine gewisse Selbstkritik bleibt immer, auch wenn sie mit dem Endprodukt konfrontiert werden. Also er meinte, dass ein Teil von ihm hatte irgendwie Probleme mit irgendwelchen Einzelheiten, gerade wenn es um die Produktion ging und die Arrangements und wie das genau abgemischt wurde. Und als es alles fertig war, dann hat er gedacht, ja, das hätte irgendwie besser sein können oder das hätte ein bisschen anders sein können. Aber er musste lernen, das einfach so stehen zu lassen. Er meinte, das ist so wie Malerei. Wenn ein Künstler ein Bild gemalt hat, irgendwann muss er sich davon verabschieden und sagen, okay, auch wenn es nicht perfekt ist, dann ist es trotzdem, das ist das fertige Produkt und man muss es stehen lassen als ein Kunstwerk. Right, so is there a particular track on the album where you think the mix is particularly amazing, particularly perfect then? Or does it apply to all the tracks then, do you think?
I think Heads or Tails, like, that was one of the mixes. When that came through, it was like, oh, like, thank God for that. Like, this guy knows what he's doing with our music. So
that you've already heard that, though?
Right, so... but
it's the only one we've heard, so you have to think of something else. Here's the list, if you can read my writing.
All right.
I think Lemon Trees was a good one.
Oh, Lemon Trees, yeah.
That okay. One was particularly layered. We had an awful lot of instrumentation on that one, and I think it was always going to be a bit of a tricky one, because there was so much. I can't remember how many tracks were on it now, but I was really pleased when we heard that one back for the first time. I think he did a really good job with that one.
That was the first single as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. So hören das Stück Lemon Trees, und Sie meinen, also George meint vor allem, das war ein sehr gutes Beispiel dafür, wie gelungen die Produktion auch ist. Also Henry meinte auch, das Stück Heads or Tails stimmt auch, aber das haben wir schon gehört. Und dieses Stück war die erste Single, und Sie waren sehr zufrieden damit, weil es einfach sehr schön arrangiert ist mit verschiedenen Schichten. Die Instrumentierung ist sehr aufwendig, und deshalb sind Sie auch ziemlich stolz auf das Ergebnis. Also hören wir jetzt Lemon Trees von dem neuen Album Eulogies von Eagles. So Eagles mit Lemon Trees von dem Album Eulogies. Am I pronouncing that right, by the way? Eulogies. Well,
yeah. You can say it in a number of ways.
I would have thought so, yeah. It makes me think of Ulysses. You kind of think of James Joyce, right?
Yeah. A few people have said that, yeah.
It's basically just an anagram, though, isn't it? So.
Yeah, it's an anagram of Eagles. But, yeah. I like the way that it sums up the songs quite well, like with looking at them in a pessimist or optimist way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ja, also Eulogies, also so heißt das Album, es ist ein Anagramm, also das, wenn man findet alle Buchstaben, die in dem Namen Eagles mit dabei sind, und es hat keine wirklich tiefere Bedeutung, aber er meinte, dass Henry meinte, ist letztendlich vermittelt es ganz gut so das Gefühl ihrer neuen Musik und die neuen Songs. Sie fanden es einfach passend. And do you find it difficult to strike the right kind of balance between because this is a bit more sophisticated than what you've done so far, is it difficult to find the right balance between rawness and pop potential? You know, is that something which you, is that a battle of wits sort of trying to work
out? Yeah, there is like quite a battle going on when we're writing, but it's we do tend to write quite pop melodic sort of material that we don't understand that we're doing it. We just do it.
Well, I mean, more so now, I think, on the first album, don't you think? It's more melodic, I think. It's definitely,
It is a lot more melodic. I mean, the first album, though, was, like, that was still quite... There was quite a lot of, like, pop sort of hooks in there and things, but it was disguised with the aggravation of all the madness that was going on in that album, but, yeah.
Yeah, OK. So this is, in that sense, a bit more transparent, in a sense.
Yeah, I don't know, I think this album just sort of like, as we slowed down and opened up the songs, the melodies, they're a lot more clear and you can see them and hear them a lot easier than the first album.
Yeah. Also, Sie meinen schon, dass es eine gewisse Gratwanderung ist zwischen der Rauheit, die Sie immer noch gerne anstreben, und ihrem Pop-Potenzial. Also Henry meinte, dass auf dem ersten Album gab es schon richtige Pop-Songs. Nur das hat man teilweise gar nicht richtig bemerkt, weil es alles so extrem wild war und irgendwie so extrem rigoros. Und deshalb hat man teilweise gar nicht mitbekommen, dass die Songs teilweise relativ eingängig waren, weil Produktion natürlich macht viel aus. Und in diesem Fall ist es alles transparent, ist einfach deutlicher, was sie eigentlich anstreben wollen. Und also dennoch wollen sie natürlich so eine gewisse raue so Authentizität auch beibehalten. Of course, when you right at the very beginning, wasn't your first single called something like Council Flat Blues? And on the first album, the album cover was like this burnt out car on a council estate. Was that intentional to make your mark as a working class Leeds band? I mean, was that a statement or was that just happened to be an artistic statement? It didn't necessarily apply to you or to your backgrounds or...
Well, Council Flat Blues is a song of my adventures as a teenager, like being around people who lived in council flats. It wasn't like a statement of saying that we are working class or anything like that. It's like the imagery is just more of like aesthetically pleasing of what we like to see and how it fits really well with our music. But yeah.
And how do you think you moved on from that in that respect? I mean, there's not so much a sense of that. People have talked to you in terms of being like a political band. I don't really get that so much because...
I don't think we've ever really had a particular...
No, but probably people really thought that for that reason. Yeah, you have a burnt-out car and then a council estate. People go, well, this is like a working-class band.
Yeah, there is. I mean, a lot of people would class us as in that sense, but I find all that sort of stuff quite classist. It's a bit strange to just pinpoint someone like on something just because of their aesthetics as a band.
Yeah.
It doesn't like, I mean, politics obviously affects us all like in our day-to-day lives, but it's not something that we do literal in our lyrics or anything like that.
Okay. Ja, ich meinte, dass als sie angefangen haben, hat man den starken Eindruck gehabt, dass sie so eine Aussage oder Statement abgeben wollten über Arbeiterklasse Kultur, weil die erste Single Council Flat Blues hieß, also Sozialwohnung Blues. Und das erste Album auf dem Cover war so ein ausgebranntes Auto direkt vor Hochhäusern. Und man könnte den Eindruck gewinnen, dass es vielleicht sehr politisch motiviert war. Und sie meinte, eigentlich war das nicht so. Es kam daher, dass sie früher, als sie jünger waren, also viel Kontakt hatten mit Leuten, die so gewohnt und so gelebt haben. Das heißt aber nicht, dass es wirklich auf ihr Leben zutraf. Und es war einfach ein künstlerischer Ausdruck. Und das fanden sie einfach ästhetisch interessant, sowas abzubilden. Aber sie betrachten sich nicht in erster Linie als eine politische Band. Natürlich sind sie schon von Politik berührt, aber es ist nicht ihre erste Motivation. Also das kann man so nicht sagen. Und wir hören jetzt ein Stück von diesem besagten Debütalbum. Es hieß Eagles, das Album, erschien 2014. Und hier ist der Song Nerve Ending. Nerve Endings von Eagles von ihrem Debütalbum. Bei mir im Studio sind George und Henry von der Band. Do you actually still feel very much connected to Leeds, though? I mean, is that important? Is that relevant to you? Or do you think you've gone beyond that now? I mean, could you move to LA as David Gedge of The Wedding Present did?
I still feel... I think it's very important. I mean, when you tour as much as we do, I think Leeds is just our base to return to. And as much as we love touring, we like to be... There's no better feeling than returning back to Leeds, because it's just our home. It's where our friends are, family are, that sort of thing. So I always have that affiliation with it, and just the community there, and just all the people that we see and how involved we are with everything there. I think it's very important. It's like when we was given opportunities to record this album in places like LA and whatnot, and we were just like, nah, we'll do it in Leeds. Because we knew that would be the best thing for the band to do.
Yeah, you didn't want to do a David Gedge. The last time I met him, it was quite a long time ago, I just as an ironic question, I asked him, what's the difference between Leeds and LA? Mm. And he didn't understand the irony, and he actually took the question seriously.
Really?
And he thought I was a bit mad, actually, even asking that question. I thought, well, maybe he spent too much time in California and lost his sense of irony.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, yeah. I love visiting those places, but...
There's
only so much of the rainbow bar that you can take.
Yeah. It's funny, when we're playing Coachella and stuff like that, you do feel like this is... so far removed from
it's like a dreamland of people they're just I don't know, that famous sort of situation stuff. I don't
know who you're talking about now. You're talking about Leeds or LA?
Yeah.
Ich fragte, ob Leeds immer noch wichtig ist für Sie, und Sie meinen ja, die sind so viel auf Tour und Sie sind sehr froh, wenn Sie wieder zu Hause sind, und das ist ein starken Sinn für so Gemeinschaft da, und Sie fühlen sich da sehr verwurzelt. Und sie meinen, es ist einfach so ihre Heimat, und sie hatten auch das Angebot bekommen, zum Beispiel das neue Album in Los Angeles zu produzieren, aber sie nein, wir machen lieber das Album komplett in Leeds. Also diese Heimat, das Heimatgefühl für sie ist schon sehr wichtig und trägt dann auch zu am Gefühl der Echtheit bei, was ihre Musik betrifft. Und ich nannte gerade das Beispiel von David Gedge von The Wedding Present, der auch aus Leeds kam. Er ist irgendwann nach Los Angeles gezogen, und die Band meinte, die beiden, die könnten sowas nie machen. Die finden es zwar ganz witzig, wenn sie da sind, so dieses Traumland Kalifornien, aber irgendwann hat man auch genug davon, und irgendwann will man dann auch zurück zum wirklichen Leben. So, do you actually think quite seriously that being in Leeds is actually affected the music in itself? I mean, do you think if you made it somewhere else, if you made it in LA or Honolulu, it would turn out completely different?
Definitely.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah. So it's the true sound of the heart, the underground heart of Leeds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
I just couldn't imagine just being surrounded by, like, pristine beaches and that sort of thing, trying to evoke sort of the emotion that we're trying to put down. I just didn't think it would ever happen. We needed to be in Leeds for it to work.
Right.
We don't really hear the sunshine in our songs, or sandy, nice sandy beaches and tropical fish.
So you're not going to make any surf music very soon?
Nah.
Ja, Sie meinen, Sie können sich nicht vorstellen, Ihre Musik irgendwo anders tatsächlich zu machen, weil, also wenn Sie tatsächlich irgendwo am Strand wohnen würden, dann würde die Musik komplett anders werden, und das wäre so unpassend, irgendwelche tropische Fische irgendwie künstlerisch darzustellen und tolle Strände, das würde einfach nicht passen zu Ihrer Musik. Right, so is there a track on the album which sums up your down-to-earthness better than any other track, do you think?
Down-to-earthness.
Well, that's only a semi-serious question, so you don't really have to. You can give a semi-serious answer if you want.
Well, I feel maybe like Velvet would be a good one for that.
Mm.
Do you reckon?
I don't know, it's talking about Cupid and stuff, so it's pretty otherworldly.
I know, but it's so poppy. It shows that we're not just completely miserable.
Yeah.
Even though the lyrics are down that line. But, yeah, I think that would say that we're just down to earth. I mean, we sort of tried it first with that song, I feel like, to make it something else, and it took many different turns, but then I think everyone just realised that you should just let the song be what it should be. It's just a massive pop melody. It's really pop. It's just a big hook.
So it's your sellout song, really, then?
Yeah, we've sold out.
Yeah.
And this is the official confirmation now.
It's not actually been released
still
as a single
still
yet.
Still haven't seen all that money yet, though, from the sellout situation.
So wir hören das Stück Velvet jetzt, und Sie meinen, das ist so das beste Lied, das ihre Bodenständigkeit so verkörpert, ihre poppige Bodenständigkeit. Er meinte, das ist einfach eine einfache so Pop-Hymne, Und es gab, sie haben sich so den Kopf darüber zerbrochen, wie sie dieses Stück vielleicht produzieren könnten. Sie hatten so verschiedene Denkmodelle, aber letztendlich haben sie es einfach so stehen lassen, wie es war. Es ist ein einfaches, großes Poplied und ich meinte, ja, das ist eher kommerzieller Ausverkauf. Und ich meine nur, sie haben das Geld noch nicht gesehen, insofern sie wissen nicht, ob das wirklich zutrifft. Ist also Velvet jetzt von dem Album Eulogies von Eagles. So, das war Velvet von dem zweiten Album Eulogies von Eagles. Bei mir im Studio sind George und Henry von der Band. So, at what point in time did it seem to be where everything seemed to slot into place, where you think, well, you could carry doing this on forever? I mean, have you got to that point now? Or do you think it's going to be a limited thing? I mean, do you think in terms of longevity? Or does that not bother you at all?
I don't know, it's hard. We take day by day, really, don't we? I mean, like you were saying earlier, we do think about our future, but not, I wouldn't say, like 5-10 years down the line. I think just sort of one...
It's a strange thing, like that we have, like in this band. It's just something that we like do, like artistically, but we don't really understand why we do it. It's something that we feel like that we have to do it. It's like a strange, I don't know. It's like a strange process that we put ourselves through. Like, I mean, there's a lot of stress and things that are involved in doing this band, which we all could just drop it and then just not do it and be happy people in the normal world, go to work and stuff. But
just lead a normal life.
Yeah, but that's not. I don't know. Especially for me, that's not for me. It's like I don't like the normal world.
But what I've noticed, though, I mean, although we've been talking about how relaxed this album is by comparison to the first album, though, and it's all relative, there's still definitely there's a tension about what you do, I think, and there's an edge about what you do. And I can imagine it's difficult to maintain that for a long period of time, you know. Mm. I mean, how fresh can you stay? You know, I mean, how tense can things stay? You know, you know what I mean? It's but I'm not trying to make you feel unsure of yourselves now.
We'll finish this interview and then quit.
No, because I mean, it's so far so good, isn't it? Let's face it, you know.
Well, let's wait for Velvet to make us millions, then maybe we'll do it.
Yeah, so you're feeling quietly confident on that score. I guess that's the way to put it.
We're happy with it. I think that's, I don't mean that in a negative way, but that's all that matters, really. I think if you don't trust in your own music, there's just no point. Right. But we all do really enjoy playing them and we like them. So I think as a start, and I mean, we're just getting into this album being released now. So as a start, that's good enough for us.
Of course. And the fact that it's stressful, but you're enjoying it and you actually feel at home with yourself, you know, it all makes sense, doesn't it? Then, yeah.
Well, it's weird. It's
makes the stress worthwhile.
We didn't tour for 6 months while we was making this album, and it was... And that's when it got stressful. But as soon as we went out and toured, everyone was just fine.
It was as if like someone had like taken your child away from you or something. Yeah. Because like that's what we love doing the most, is just like playing, touring, and just being ourselves. And like for 6 months, we didn't do that, and you could just, the tension was just insane. Like it was just like kids wanting to play out, like not eat the dinner. It was just insane, man.
Okay. Ja, Sie meinen auch, dass es alles sehr anstrengend ist, Ihr Leben, und es ist alles andere als ein einfaches Spiel, das alles hinzubekommen, Musik zu machen und zu versuchen, davon zu leben und neue Songs zu schreiben und künstlerisch auch interessant zu bleiben. Aber es ist der Aufwand wert, weil es Ihnen letztendlich Spaß macht und weil Sie glücklich damit sind. Und Sie haben ein halbes Jahr gar nicht mehr live gespielt, als dieses Album entstanden ist. Und das war die stressige Zeit. Also es war auch seelisch, auch eine Belastung. Und sobald sie wieder auf Tour gehen konnten, fühlten sie sich dann wieder frei. Das war so ein befreiender Schlag irgendwie. Dann war alles wieder gut. Es war wirklich so wie Kinder, die dann nicht spielen durften. Und auf einmal durften die dann wieder und war alles wieder gut, weil sie konnten sich richtig austoben. Und die sind dann, was die Zukunft betrifft, relativ zuversichtlich. Und hier ist jetzt noch ein Stück von ihrem neuen Album Eulogies. Hier ist jetzt My Life in Rewind. Hier ist Eagles. Eagles mit My Life in Rewind von ihrem neuen Album Eulogies. Bei mir im Studio sind, wie gesagt, George und Henry von der Band. And of course, your voice is a special kind of voice. I mean, I think it's, to have a special kind of voice like that, is it a blessing or is it a burden or is it a mixed blessing? Because you're not a conventional singer in the normal sense of the word. You know, you wouldn't be singing cabaret songs like Tom Jones or something. You know what I mean? So it's, you know, you have your own character to it. And I can imagine, and as I'm saying, being a mixed blessing. I mean, how do you feel about that?
Well, I don't know. Singing for me is just it's something that I feel like I just don't really know how I do it. Like I've never really thought about it very much. It just like, and with this album, it was like a natural progression. It just seemed to glide that way because of the music that I was writing to. But I mean, I suppose it is a blessing not having a voice, but.
Well, I mean, just not a run-of-the-mill voice. It means it gives your band an immediate identity, doesn't it? I mean, that's the obvious,
yeah, I guess
the bonus of it. Yeah,
because
it makes you instantly recognisable, I think, as Eagles.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't know. I just don't think about it. I just get on with it. Like, it's that thing about like looking into your own artwork too much is just a bit. It can just make you a bit mad, so I just don't look at it.
Right. Okay. Because you don't actually play an instrument as well, do you, or do you?
No, I mean, like...
On stage, you don't? Anyway.
No, not on stage, like, but some of the, like, written material, like, I help out with the musical side, but, yeah, I wouldn't feel confident on stage with an instrument. Like, my voice is enough on its own.
It doesn't make you feel more exposed in some way, though?
Yeah, yeah, it can
puts more pressure on you in a sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, like sometimes I wish that I did have like an instrument to sort of like hide behind or whatever, but yeah.
Okay. Ja, der Gesang ist natürlich relativ speziell, eine besondere Stimme, die sofort auffallend ist und die Band hat sofort Identität dadurch. Und das ist der Vorteil. Ich dachte, es ist vielleicht ein Nachteil, weil die Stimme ungewöhnlich ist und deshalb vielleicht irgendwie so, ja, also er ist ein bisschen beschränkt in dem, was er dann damit machen kann mit der Stimme. Aber er meinte, er macht sich gar keine Gedanken drüber. Das ist einfach so seine Kunst. Und vor allem ist es so, dass er kein Instrument auf der Bühne spielt. Im Studio ist es zwar was anderes, aber auf der Bühne steht er wirklich nur da und singt. Und deshalb ist es wirklich, er ist im Mittelpunkt und er fühlt sich schon manchmal deshalb unter Druck gesetzt und würde sich schon manchmal ganz gerne hinter ein Instrument verstecken. Aber letztendlich ist es eine Kunst und das akzeptiert er und er versucht, darüber nicht so viel nachzudenken. One thing I did actually want to ask you is the fact that people have kind of stamped you as being this post-punk band and that you're influenced much by music from the past. And I did actually check out on the internet, there was a list of songs which you gave like a post-punk list of your favourite songs. Mm. So it's obviously something you're quite comfortable about being actually identified with that. And what was your original source? Was it just, was it like your parents' record collection or was it just delving into the past yourself?
My uncle actually gave me a CD of his favourite songs like when he was young. And I got that when I was about, I don't know, I think I was about like 13 or something. And those songs just, I felt that they were my own in a sense. And they were like way more contemporary than the other bands that I was listening to at the time. So I just kept going down that route and just kept listening to like not just post-punk, and then that sent me down all sorts of other routes where into like Bowie and all of the pre-punk sort of stuff. So
right. It might be interesting to finish off with a song of that nature, because there were two tracks I wrote down which you'd mentioned. It was the band called Blitz, this oi band.
Right.
And the song New Age.
Yeah.
And the other one which I found, is this here? You probably remember, yeah?
Yes. Oh, wow.
Psychic TV.
Yeah.
Original pressing.
Amazing.
Original.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we could take one of those tracks, really, to finish. Quite interesting.
Yeah, The Orchids, like...
The Orchids?
Yeah, it's one of our... Well, I'd say it's one of our favourite songs as a group of people. Like, it's one song that we can put on and everyone really enjoys it.
Okay.
It's a song that's very similar to our album, really, because it's like we wanted to show the more beautiful side of our music, but then also have that sort of eeriness and sadness to it. So that song is especially like that.
And do you think Psyche TV went down the same kind of route in that sense, starting off by being quite obscure and abrasive?
Yeah, well, I think, like, whatever Genesis, everything that she did was just, like, well, they did.
Yeah.
It was very... I don't know, it was like it was as if they was trying to, like, to be different and contemporary and almost forcing themselves to do it.
So a bit of a role model for you in that sense.
Yeah, really.
Okay. So Verhoeven jetzt zum Schluss, The Orchids. That's the track you want to hear, isn't it? The Orchids.
Yeah.
From the album Dreams Less Sweet from Psychic TV. It's 1983, I think, 1989, actually.
Yeah,
before you were born, no doubt.
Yeah.
Er hat irgendwie viel Musik durch seinen Onkel kennengelernt und hat sich mit der Plattensammlung des Onkels beschäftigt und das war so der Ausgangspunkt für ihn. Und es gab so Bands wie Blitz, eine alte Oi-Band aus England, Psychic TV, solche Bands, die ihm auch sehr wichtig waren, Bowie dann auch. Und wir hören jetzt ein Stück, wie gesagt, von Psychic TV von 1983. Right, well, thanks very much for coming out to talk to me. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Have a good time tonight.
Cheers.
See you again soon. So, meine Studiogäste waren George und Henry von der Band Eagles aus Leeds. Und das war der Nachtclub mit Paul Baskerville. Hier ist jetzt Psyche TV und ich wünsche euch eine gute Nacht.
NDR Info. Nachrichten.